earlier this month, Connecticut's Department of Consumer Protection released its licensing report for 2025. I don't even really know what that means. So we go to the commissioner for the Department of Consumer Protection, Brian Caffarelli, who joins us back on the show to get some highlights from this report and to just identify why it even matters. Brian, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Melissa. There it is, the refreshing, brutal honesty.
Well, listen, I know you love that, and I don't want to lie. I see this, and it's funny I go onto your website, right, and I actually see there's all these different categories on the state website for the Department of Consumer Protection. It's like verify your license, and there's a lot of categories, and I think to myself, okay, I understand the on the surface what that means, but I love to talk about the significance of it and why people should be leaning in and learning more. So listen, that's why I'm being real about it.
We'll get right into it. And so we did do an annual report on the state of our licensing division, and so that's for 2025. And it looks at industries with the biggest growth and decline by new application over the last 5 years. And it really does allow not just us, but the legislature and a broader market to look at our evolving marketplace in Connecticut and shares trends and industries that we regulate. And a lot of people, it's, you know, a good little plug for us in terms of letting your listeners know the variety of things that are in the portfolio that DCP regulates, and thus they can contact us if they have an issue with. And so really, I mean, it is, the numbers are staggering. We issue more than 260,000 credentials a year. When I first started here, I used to say 300,000. So I can't do that anymore. Although, if you include brands that we register for liquors, we do get close to that. But it is unbelievable that it spread across 130 credential types. And so the five most popular ones I'll highlight for you: occupational trades, and they have the most with nearly 42,000 licensees. And they're professionals that work in electrical, HVAC, home inspection, plumbing, pipe fitting, sheet metal, pool installation, all the stuff that builds Connecticut, your homes, your schools, your offices. And so it's a robust workforce that we have here. And, you know, I think everybody wants to make sure they're competent and have the proper education and training to do what they do. And that's how it happens in Connecticut, is that when we credential them, we confirm that and get them to work. Rounding out the list is home improvement and new construction, real estate, and accountancy. And so the biggest growth over the last 5 years was cottage food operators, and that increased by almost 200%. And so it's a program that allows people to start a small business from their home, and they can make low risk items like baked goods that can be sold directly to consumers, like at farmers markets.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it really became popular during COVID.
Sure.
And then everybody became aware of the program and started doing more of it. And so it continues, and that's cool. Other industries are health clubs. They're growing rapidly because it's not just the typical, you know, big box gyms that you think of, but there's a lot of more specialized health clubs that are out there. As I said, heating and cooling, electricians and plumbers, they're all on the rise, which is good for our state. On the flip side, the five industries that saw a decline are TV and radio service dealers, and that's for obvious reasons. People aren't getting their TVs and radios repaired anymore. You know, quite frankly, it's just not cost effective for people because televisions are so, you know, affordable these days. They just most often buy a new one than go out and get it repaired.
Interesting.
Gas stations, a lot of them are consolidating, so we saw a little dip there, and food manufacturers.
Wow.
So it's interesting to look at the workforce. Before this report, we knew there was an increase in popularity for our cottage food program. But since then, it continues, like I said, to be a great way for people to make money right from their home.
I have a question, and again, we have Brian Caffarelli here, the commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection. So when we talk about licensing, it's interesting, Brian, because I was talking to a lawmaker this week and actually he name dropped you, not in a bad way, but he was like, Brian does an amazing job and we love him for what he does. But it kind of goes outside of your purview, if you will. But I wanted to ask you, because I knew you were coming on this week. So when we talk about licensing, you know, so you just mentioned that one of the top five industries that we saw a huge growth, you know, based on this licensing report had to do with contractors, basically, which is no surprise, right? Or even real estate. That's another one that no surprise. But it's funny because when we talk about contractors and how you want to make sure you vet and have credible contractors or even real estate agents, I have a real estate agent who comes on my show every week and he's our real estate expert. He will say literally everyone and their mom during the pandemic got a real estate license. And he goes, but that doesn't mean that they're great at their job. And I also look at this state lawmaker we were talking about, liquor licenses. Do you think we are too lax on licensing? And again, I know there's kind of you have to hit a middle ground, right? Because you don't want to make it so impossible that we don't have people entering industries. But do you think we're too lax with licensing distribution? When you look at how many shoddy contractors there are, you look at how many real estate agents there are without enough expertise or even allowing liquor licenses. I'm not sure. That's why I figured I'd ask your opinion on that.
Yeah, and the answer is no. And, you know, certainly there are always kind of changes or tweaks that they make during legislative sessions as markets evolve and to keep up with the times. And there's always going to be some bad actors, right? And so it's exponential. So if you've got a smaller pool of real estate agents and, you know, for the percentage of them that just are, you know, it's the same thing like, you know, the bad students or, you know, you take any other group and the bigger the pool, the more you're going to have. And so it becomes a little more apparent because there's more focus on it and there was more money to be made. But I will tell you that as things evolve and people find ways to be less than, you know, honest or, you know, that don't exactly want to play by the rules, the legislature is quick to act. And so we've seen some instances with, you know, that in real estate where they've made changes to like wholesalers. There are actually effective and good real estate wholesalers out there, but they, you know, there are those that have found a way to, you know, those ads you see where it says, you know, I'll pay you cash for your home in 5 days. There's a lot of fine print there, and you normally don't walk away, you know, better off like afterwards. And so they've addressed that. But by and large, you know, those individuals who are getting the licenses for real estate, particularly the ones doing the trades, I mean, that is amazing what the apprentices go through to become an electrician and or plumber, HVAC. I don't think people realize it. It's the equivalent of going to 4 years of college, right, and working at the same time to get your on-the-job training. And so these graduations that I've had, the pleasure of attending is huge because they're graduating in a trade with a job debt free. And so I think a lot of people have seen that path as education gets more expensive. And so then we make sure that those individuals are, you know, competent and have all those requirements. And, you know, there's a flip side to it as well. We don't just give the licenses out and say good luck in terms of like the liquor license, you say. So all people who have a liquor license for the first time, the legislature partnered with us and said, okay, you know what? It's kind of crazy to give someone a liquor license and say, have at it. So we developed a class that they're required to take to teach them things about safe serve and, you know, identifying intoxicated persons and minors and all sorts of best practices, like in terms of at the package store and the retail location that they're opening. So, you know, that's just one thing we want, you know, we help people get started and off the ground. And then those that enter the industry, whether it be real estate or otherwise, and they are bad actors, we have a way to deal with them and enforce compliance. I mean, a lot of it's complaint driven, and which is helpful to us. And so your friend who may see something going wrong, you know, oftentimes we hear from them, and then we'll look into it and take action up to, you know, revoking their license if they're really doing things that are, you know, not right.
We have Commissioner Brian Caffarelli here from the Department of Consumer Protection, and we were talking about licensing. And you said something really interesting before, Brian, which was if there are bad actors, we will go to the extent of even taking a license away, which we've certainly seen before. And a lot of times it is coming from, as you mentioned, complaints. You know, you find out that, hey, they are selling THC products illegally. They're not supposed to, for example. And right. Police come in, they, you know, take the license or they shut down the establishment. So, like, we've seen that, certainly. But I was curious, though, you know, when we talk about, so you mentioned a new law, and I remember this going into effect, I want to say this past session, no, the one that requires now for new liquor license holders to do the class?
Yeah.
So is there any kind of requirement for refreshers, though? Or I guess, like, do you feel like penalties are high enough for people who hold such important license? And again, we don't even have to talk about just liquor license. But I think, you know, when we talk about one of the biggest scams you and I have certainly talked about on the show, shoddy contractors and people doing a terrible job, right? I mean, so do you feel like our – maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not giving the licenses so freely, because I think you bring a lot of clarity to that. It's not like it's you know, you sign up online in 5 minutes and you have a license. I think that's important to know. But do you feel like the penalty, the back end of it, if you are not responsible with your license, that the penalties are as strong as they could be?
Yeah, well, I mean, so first, let me just say that we want to make sure that the people who, you know, are going to participate in any given market have the competency and background to do so. And we're going to make sure of that as quickly as possible and get people on their way and to work. You know, that's number one. We really, you know, that's a major goal for us, is to, you know, not be an impediment to business. So I say that because, secondly, you know, the penalties is not something we focus on first. We really want to say, like, here's how you stay in compliance, right? And so oftentimes people just don't understand what the rules or the laws are. And so when there are changes, or we even just give updates to certain industries, we spend a lot of time out in, you know, meeting with market participants, you know, where they are. So at their conferences, you know, we'll host things online, we'll have in-person trainings, whether it be for pharmacy or liquor or, you know, real estate. You know, we've hosted them in person and online here. And so we want to make sure that people understand, you know, kind of, so they can stay in the rules of the road. So we're not just looking for people to, you know, color outside the lines and then get them with a penalty. And so we just are, the focus really is to make sure people understand what the rules are and they remain in compliance. Now, those that are repeat offenders and just don't care, the penalties can be very severe, like I said. So we can put, you know, and it depends upon the license type, right? And so we can put restrictions or, you know, other things on the license. We can fine monetarily, we can revoke or suspend the license. We can even make referrals for criminal prosecution in extreme cases. But, you know, I mean, I'll give you an instance with pharmacy. Everybody wants to know that when they go to the pharmacy, they pick up their bottle, they just know that the pills that are in there are the right pills, right? But sometimes they're not. And we're there to make sure that that's happening correctly. And it doesn't happen often, but if we see it happening more than once, we know there's a problem there. We spend a lot of time with that pharmacy. And sometimes it's a particular pharmacist that is having a challenge. Maybe they're too busy, or maybe there's a substance abuse problem. And so we can get them help and take their license away temporarily while they go into a program. And it's, you know, it's been a very beneficial thing for everyone. And But those are the things that we want to make sure: public health and safety, making sure that it's a fair and equitable market. And so that's paramount to us. And so if we need to, the fines can be very large, but really that's not the goal here. There is no, you know, kind of quota or, you know, bell to ring if you get a big fine. At the end of the day, you know, when we go out and do these compliance checks at, like, package stores, for instance, we'll do with the local law enforcement. And if we hit 10, you know, package stores in a retail location, we're happiest when all of them don't sell to a minor, right? But, you know, if they do, then we take measures. And so if it's not the first time, you know, we can require them to go to training. We can, you know, shut them down for a period. or we can take the license away. And so that's, you know, we're out there watching. We're small but mighty, but we've got, you know, half of our employees are out in the field, and they're out there, whether it be gaming or liquor or just general investigations or real, you know, pharmacy, cannabis. And so we've got a lot on our plate, but we are mindful.
Well, we really appreciate that. Commissioner Brian Caffarelli, always love having chats with you. And for those of you who want to read the full report, the licensing report for 2025 here in Connecticut, I've linked that to our website, voiceofct.com. In fact, I'm going to attach it to Brian's podcast, which you can find under Melissa in the Morning on our website, voiceofct.com. Brian, thank you so much for always making the time, and we will certainly talk again next month. You're so good about being here at least once a month, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you again. Brian Caffarelli, the Commissioner of Connecticut's Department of Consumer Protection, right here on WICC.